and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, everyone. How are you? Jump and give him my very best, regardless of what's before me or
because he's mighty, he's amazing, he's God all by himself. Come on, hallelujah. So how many of us know that when we call on the Lord, he has to answer us? So I'm the only one? So when I call on God, he has to answer. Because a father knows his son's voice, and a son knows his father's voice. So when I call on the name of Jesus, things are apt to happen. Come on, if you truly believe it, just lift your hands up with me. Come on and give God praise for about 15 to 20 seconds. Come on, just let him know that you appreciate him. Lord God, we love you. Lord God, we're so thankful that we have a father that listens to us when we call. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, hallelujah. In the midst of everything that's going on in my life, in my country, in my world, when I call your name, God, things must change. When I call your name, God, the enemy must flee, and I'm protected when I call the name of Jesus. Come on, hallelujah. And it's all because God's goodness never changes, right? God has been good from the beginning. He'll be good through the end. And when we're in heaven with him, just praising his name, he's going to be good. So come on and sing this song with me.
Sing, Lord, you are good. You've been so good.
Come on.
Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if I try, 'cause you've been so good, so good.
Come on and sing that. You've been
so good. One more time, say.
To me. Hallelujah. Come on and sing that with me. Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good. You've been so good. Lord, you are good. You've been better than good. I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life. Can't praise you enough. Even if
your hands and sing this out. You've been,
Lord, you are good.
You've been so good.
You've been so good.
Yeah.
One more time.
and help me sing that you've been. And sing that with me.
So many doors you've
opened.
So
many ways
you
made. And every time you feel my body,
you've
been better.
You've been better than good to me.
So many doors that nobody can shut.
So many ways you made.
I don't know where you've been.
So many times you've healed me.
You've been better.
You've been better than good to me.
Your voice.
So good.
Let's just declare it. Praise his name.
Praise Jesus. Hallelujah.
You know, there's something about a name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. The Bible says, whatever you ask in Jesus' name, I'll give it to you. The Bible says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. They should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. A name holds a lot. It means family. It means authority. See, this young lady, next Saturday, this Saturday, she's getting married. Now, hold on. I always like to ask the couples, are you taking his name? And he went, of course she's going to take my name. Well, why? Because there's something about a name. When you take on the name of Christ, when you get saved, it's more than just, hi, I'm born again, or hi, I love Jesus, or hi, I'm saved. It's you are now part of the family. And there's nothing greater than the name of Jesus. Amen. And are you going to take his name? What's your name going to be?
Mackenzie.
You got to say it in that thing.
Mackenzie Smolin.
Something about the name. At the name of Jesus, you gave your heart to Christ. How many of you gave your heart to Jesus before? I'm not talking being religious. I'm talking the name changed your life. What we're going to do is we're going to take just a few minutes. And I want you to go find somebody you don't know and tell them what the name of Jesus has meant to you. Go find somebody you don't know. Just share what the name of Jesus has meant to you. Don't go to somebody you do know. Go to somebody you don't know. Introduce yourself. Come on now, go find somebody you don't know and share what the name of Jesus has meant to you. Okay now, too many of you are sitting down. Go find somebody now. Go find somebody.
do it now.
This year, for the first time ever, we are hosting a vacation Bible school. This is going to be super exciting, super fun, and I want to invite you to bring your kids, your aunt's kids, your cousin's kids, and your next door neighbor's kids. Sign up at histabernacle.com/VBS. Also, if you would like a chance to volunteer, go to the His Kids check-in desk and find out how you can be a volunteer that week.
Woo! Hey, His Tab peeps, listen, we want to let you know about Growth Track that we have happening every single Sunday from 9:30 until 10:30. Listen, if you want to know who we are and where we're going and how you can get involved, we want to help you discover what God can do through you.
If you want to take your leadership capabilities to the next level, then I would encourage you to join our Next Steps classes. At the Horseheads campus, our classes are Tuesday nights at 7, Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m., and then Thursday nights at 6 p.m. At the Mansfield campus, our classes are 7 p.m. on Tuesday nights, and at the Ithaca campus, they are Thursday at 6 p.m. I want to see you there, and I want to see you growing and able to lead people after these classes.
Good morning, His Tabernacle family. Woo! Can we just give it up for the worship team? They did such a great job this morning. Hallelujah. They're looking for more people, so if you're interested, you know how to play an instrument, you know how to sing, find Minister McKenzie. We just want to welcome all of the guests. If this is your first time here at His Tabernacle, can you just raise your hand? We're not going to try to embarrass you or anything. We just want to give you a gift. We got any? We got a few over here. Awesome. Welcome. We just want to invite you to the guest reception. It happens right over in this hallway after service. You can get some coffee and meet some of the staff and pastors. We want to welcome the live stream. If you're watching via live stream, you're part of this family, and we just celebrate you, and we want to encourage you that if you live around in this area to come in and be a part of the house. Who's excited for VBS, the first ever vacation Bible school here at His Tabernacle? It's happening next week, the 12th through the 16th. So if you're interested and you're able to come out and volunteer for this, we just want to encourage you to be a part of it. It's not just, you know, a kids ministry thing. This is a church thing. So we want everybody to be involved. You can help decorate. You can help, you know, with kids, whatever it is that you are talented in. You can find Pastor Aaron Stearns after service, or you can sign up at the His Kids desk. All right, I'm just going to invite Pastor Obi up to do the tithes and offering.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing this morning? I don't know about you, but when Pastor was talking about the name of Jesus, I got excited. Who is excited about the name of Jesus? Come on now. If you were saved in the house, we were saved by the name of Jesus. Who here has been healed? Come on, in your body, in your mind. Come on, in your thinking. Come on now. You were saved. You were healed by the blood of Jesus. We are thankful for His sacrifice. But guess what? The Bible also correlates that Jesus is the Word. Amen? Okay, y'all got quiet on me. Come on now. The Bible also correlates that Jesus is the Word. Amen? And unfortunately, we live in a society and a time in which with social media and people, they have all their memes and all their GIFs. They think that their opinion can bear weight on you. But can I tell you this?
Hold on. I have a question. Okay. What's a meme?
Okay. People are entitled to their opinions, but you have the right to only grant the Word access into your life, okay? People can say whatever they want to say about church. They can say whatever they want to say about Jesus. But guess what? If you will hold on to the Word and you only allow the Word to access your life, penetrate your heart, that is what's going to carry you. so we can allow the word, not opinion, to talk about our church, to talk about the way that I love my Jesus, the way that I want him not just to be my Savior, but also my Lord. And since he is the word, what he says about giving is more important than the world says about giving. So can I tell you what the word says about giving? In the book of Proverbs, it says that I will lend and not borrow. It says that I will be filled and I will not lack. The book of Malachi says that if I'm obedient in giving, something will be poured out that I cannot even contain. The book of Mark says that Jesus, he's looking at you giving today, and he sees your heart, and he is rejoiced because you're going to be giving with a cheerful heart. The book of Luke says that if you give today in obedience, not in being pressured, but in obedience, a hedge of protection will be put up around your entire life, where no thief can come into your life and no moth can destroy. The book of Acts says that when I give, I can help those that are brokenhearted. Those that have less than, we can help them. And 2 Corinthians says this, that I can be get to a place where I can give with joy. Oh, come on now. I can give with a heart of joy. It is better to give than to receive. We don't have to wait until Christmas to feel good about giving. Today is the day that through my giving, I can have heaven look down. I can have God look down and say, I am proud of his tabernacle. I am proud of my people. And with your giving today, the kingdom of God will be advanced. Are you ready? Come on, are you ready? Come on, stand up to your feet. I'm excited to give. For those of you that love technology, you can also text to give from your seat. We have the screen that's about to come up with the text to give number. It is a one-time sign-up. It is incredibly easy. My family does it. If you want an envelope, they're in your seats. You can fill them out. But we have a supernatural declaration. We want to also attach the word again to our giving. So can you just repeat after me? Y'all ready? If you're a guest, come on, just work with me. Are you ready? Say it after me. Say, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Now if you believe what the word says, if you put the word above the opinions of man, if you're ready for the word to penetrate your life and be attached to your giving, declare this. Shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen, amen. Feel free to come down and to give. If you want to give by text, you can do that as well. If you're watching online, click on that giving button. Let your giving be attached to the word and watch the word begin to work in your life.
Sorry. I was texting to give. And it was my first time. A little technologically challenged. I had to bring a turn and say, did I do it right? So I don't know about you. I just love this series. This is a year of... You're all so sad. Here we go. Ready? This is the year of... My goodness, if you're a guest in the house, we have a theme for the year that God gives us. And we preach series that will build on that year. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept is how we learn and we grow and mature. So this year is the year of the next level. We've got to learn that where we are is good, but you don't ever want your good to overtake God's great. See, this is one of the challenges of our lives. It's because comfort many times is more popular than growth. And it's not a choice. Can I hear an amen or am I? Your past can never become your future. So the longer you hang on to your past, you'll never be able to obtain God's greatness for your life. Sadly enough, the children of Israel, they loved the concept of change, but not the process of change. And a lot of us, we like the idea of good things happening in our lives, being able to mature and do better things for God, live a better lifestyle. We love all of that. We love the concept of change, but God wants to bring us to an understanding that it's not just a concept, there's going to be a process. And not everybody wants the process. That's why there are people that are the same they have been for the last 20 years. Now listen, I want you to realize that God has never raised you to be who you were. He's raised you to be who you are. The steps of a righteous man are ordered, means steps, means you're moving forward. You know, our verse for the year is found in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, and it says this, brethren and sisterin, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing, if I shout one thing. Come on, shout one thing. This one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The mind of God is never living here in the past, but is always moving forward to your next level. The challenge is getting people to move. Sadly enough, and I'll be honest with you, I've been pastoring now for 32 years. I've seen the majority of believers, not the minority, but the majority of believers, instead of pressing on, they get settled. They get satisfied. Now listen, God wants you blessed. Can I hear an amen or am I? But it's not just getting blessed, it's moving forward in the blessing. That many people just kind of settle down. And they, in fact, you know what they teach you when you're building churches is that when you build your first building, it's sometimes one of the worst things you could ever do for your church. The reason is because when you're like meeting at the school like we were, we had to come in every week and pull down and push up and set up 400 chairs, et cetera, et cetera. But man, when you come to your own building, no chairs need to be set up. So everyone kind of just settles. But I want you to realize that you cannot reach God's greatness for your life if you just settle for good. That means you've got to say, thank you, God, for where I'm at, but I'm forgetting those things which are behind, which not only the bad things, but the good things. And I'm saying, God, I'm pressing on towards the mark of the high goal in Jesus Christ. God, you've got great things for me. You want to bless me. You want to use me. God, you want my life to bring change. You want my life to make a difference on this planet, not just to suck air and barely make it by. The only way to do this is if you are willing to let go of the goodness to grab a hold of God's greatness. Can I hear an amen or am I? I've watched so many believers, they start off, they get born again. I'm talking truly, genuinely saved. They love God, but what happens is they stop growing. They stop, they stall, they sit back, and then they start getting bored. And then they start doing the problem that we want to talk about this morning. We talked about the children of Israel and how the children of Israel didn't like the process of change, but the concept of change. But today I want to talk to you about something that is even more powerful, and that is once you've changed, how you got to keep going. How you cannot stay just in the salvation mode. Salvation is the beginning, baby, not the end. I said salvation is the beginning, not the end. Nope. I said salvation is the beginning, not the end. Nah. I said salvation is the beginning, not the end. SWAT. Many people, what ends up happening is this, is you never really ever get delivered alone. Aren't you glad you got friends? You know, these two guys right here, they brought him out. Get over here, Attila. Help him up. They knew he needed Jesus, so he had friends that actually brought him out and set him up. Aren't you glad they set him up? Aren't you glad to have friends that help you in the gospel? Do you realize that so few of you ever came to the saving knowledge of Jesus by yourself? I had a friend in Bible college. He was in Walpole State Prison. The only way he got saved was the last prisoner when he got let go. He had left a Bible underneath his pillow. And my roommate actually read that Bible and gave his heart to Jesus. But the majority of people in this room, the only way you know God is because somebody brought you. I want you to realize the only thing you can bring to heaven is somebody else. Without a friend that you're going to bring to the Lord, they're not going to make it to heaven. You are absolutely important to the plan in the kingdom of God. You see, this man right here wouldn't be out of Egypt without his friends. And thank God for his friends. This is going to be available out front in the foyer afterwards. It says this, get unstuck. You can get a picture of yourself stuck. Because you see what he's got here is this. He's out of Egypt, but Egypt is not out of him. This is a problem with many believers. We get out of Egypt. God sets us free. We call upon the name of the Lord and he changes us. But what we do is we lay hold still of Egypt. I've heard people say this all the time. Well, I can't wait to get out at Elmira. You know, Elmira, so bad. It's all... Listen, you can leave Elmira all you want. You're still going with yourself, and that's the problem. The problem is not your location, because the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt, the location, but Egypt never got out of them. Until you make a decision to get Egypt out of your life, you're still going to be carrying. You see, look what he's buried in. What was the job of the Israelites in Egypt? Their job was to get straw and to make concrete. Their job was to build somebody else's vision. That was Pharaoh's vision. It wasn't what they desired. It wasn't what they wanted. And for 430 years, they, their children, and their children's children, and their children's children's children, generation after generation, their job was to serve Pharaoh. Their job was to serve the Egyptians as they made concrete. But guess what? Just because they were delivered from the location doesn't mean they ever left their boots. And there are so many believers, God has truly set you free. And you're now bored with your Christianity. You're now bored with your walk with God. You're sitting back and you're saying, well, you know, I guess I got to go to church again. Let me tell you, if that is the heart and the attitude, then what's happened is Egypt is getting control back in your life. We've got to make a decision that Egypt has no place in my life. Because Egypt is never steady. Egypt is powerful. Because it was your past, even though you hated it. You know, I think that's the most amazing part for me that I've seen so many times, is the children of Israel were miraculously delivered from Egypt. God came in and supernaturally, through the plagues and even the last one, especially where the Passover was established, where the firstborn of all died, that the blood was not put over the doorpost, God delivered them. That was a supernatural deliverance. The Bible says in Psalms 105 that they left Egypt and there was not one feeble among the tribes. That means that every single person, 2.5 million, and all of their livestock were healthy. God healed them from grandma to newborn baby to everybody who bent over and hurt their back while they were playing in the mud. Every one of them walked out of Egypt healthy. You see, God is a supernatural God. He is a powerful God. He is a delivering God. And God wants to set you free. Egypt always represents sin. God wants to set you free from your sin. He wants to set you free so that you can be whole. The Bible says, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So the moment you've been delivered from Egypt, you're delivered from Egypt. The problem is, you've got to learn to let go. So many believers, man, they get saved, love God. They don't realize how unstable they are. I mean, let's be honest. He is completely unstable. You got nervous that time, did you? This is supposed to be Bruce Girardi. There would have been no more fun than having Brother Bruce up here, but I don't think I could have caught him and picked him back up. So here we have a young man. God delivered him from Egypt. Are you born again?
Yep.
Yes, sir. But what happens is he still has not gotten out of the boots of Egypt. You're kind of unstable, aren't you?
A little bit.
Believers that never leave Egypt are always unstable in all their ways. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't let him think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. James chapter 1. So here as believers, we've got people that love Jesus. They're born again. Oh, you are nervous, aren't you? This makes me just feel so good. You can balance all you want to try, baby, but if I let go. The truth is this is what Egypt does in your life. If you're born again, but you choose not to leave Egypt, you are unstable. You are nervous. Oh, look. You can try to stabilize yourself, and you will for a while. But after a while, you see, when trials come in your life, if you've not cut off Egypt in your life, you're always going to go back. You're going to have a tentacle that goes back and grabs a hold of what made you stable before. Even though, amazingly enough, and I think this is the most foolish thing that I find. You left Egypt because you hated Egypt. You hated the life of sin. You realized it wasn't getting anywhere but a heartbreak. You realized that your heart was being hurt and wounded, and you realized you were without God. There was a void in your life. You hated the abuse of Egypt. You hated what people did to you. You hated what the devil did to you. You hated the feelings that you had. You knew you weren't free, and because you weren't free, you couldn't do whatever you wanted. But you see, you had that guilt, and you had that shame. You see, that's where you were when you were in Egypt. You hated the food that you ate, because the food you ate was just whatever the world could give you. And that's why you popped from one man to another man, one woman to another woman, one problem to another problem, one fix to another fix. Why? Because you're constantly trying to feed yourself something that's going to give you peace and joy. But I'm here to tell you right now, Egypt will never be able to supply what Jesus Christ can. Egypt will never be able to supply what the Word of God can. Egypt will never be able to supply and sustain you. See, that's the powerful part. The children of Israel, they got out of Egypt physically, but they did not get out of Egypt in their heart. Now, I want to show you something that is amazing and how loving our Father is. They left Egypt, but loved Egypt. So much so that even in the very beginning, I'll just read you a verse. Exodus 14:10 at the Red Sea. We're at the Red Sea. They've already been delivered from Egypt. 2.5 million people. They're at the Red Sea, and there's a sea in front of them. The God that just delivered them from Pharaoh, the God that just delivered them from Egypt from 430 years, now they're standing in front of the Red Sea, and this is what they say. Ready? Were there no graves in Egypt that you took us to die in the wilderness? I mean, come on now. If God can deliver you from your sin, can't God sustain you and bring you to a life of blessing and success? Is he going to leave you at the Red Sea? Why would God save you to drop you? For he said, I've never left you nor forsake you. You see, there's a reality in our body that we've got to come back to. And that if God is able then and he's willing, then why do we trust more in Egypt than we do in God? We trust more in what ran our past than we do in the one who said, let there be and there was. This is not about religion. This is not about going to church. This is about knowing God. Because the more you know him, you know this. There's nothing impossible for those who believe. You know he's made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. But the longer you stay in Egypt, the longer you keep playing around with Egypt, the more unstable you're going to get. And baby, if there's not somebody right there, and some of you got friends that have stabilized you, they've been a blessing to you, maybe a husband and wife that's been there trying to pull you up, trying to make sure you're not going to fall on your head. But after a while, somebody's not going to be there. And when they do, something's going to happen. Oh, brother. Sorry. Sorry, Isaac. Hey, I need a drink of water. Can you go grab me one, please? See, Egypt is not going to just keep you from your blessing. It's going to keep you from being able to serve in your purpose. The longer you play with Egypt, the less you're ever going to be able to fulfill God's purpose for your life. You're not only going to be unstable for you, you're going to be unstable for everybody else around you. There's a time we've got to make decisions in our heart, and that is, man, I left Egypt because it was bad. Why in the world do I want to go back to Egypt when things get a little unstable right now? Do you remember what God said? I quoted the verse last week where the children of Israel, God said, I'm going to take them the long way around because if they take them the short way, the way of the Philistines, if there's war, they're going to run back to Egypt. Why in the world would we run back to the containment of 430 years? If the world was so good, why would you want to leave it in the first place? Listen, and I got news for you. If you're going to serve the devil, serve him well. Stop being moral. Stop being kind. If you're going to hell, baby, go well. Because it's not a nice section of hell. If you're going to go to hell, baby, and you're going to serve the devil, if you're going to stay in Egypt, you're going to live this lifestyle of not serving God, then I just want to give you a great suggestion. You'll never hear probably from another preacher. Go to hell the best way you could ever go. Break every one of the Ten Commandments at least 20 times. Why? It's the same place as if you're the kindest sinner that goes to hell. You see, Christ delivered you because he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God loved his son and he gave his son so that we might live and not die. You see, God gave himself so that we don't have to live this lifestyle. We don't have to be always fallen and waiting to get picked up. Fallen and waiting. Waiting to get picked up. God called us to live stable. But you can't live stable if you're always stuck with Egypt. Why do you love Egypt so much in your life? What is that thing in your life that you love so much that you keep going back to? What is it doing for you? How is it pleasing you? Because you're noticing him. He's leaning on that shovel. Because if he doesn't lean on that shovel, let go of the shovel. He's not stable. And some of you aren't stable spiritually, not because God doesn't love you, not because God hasn't done a supernatural thing to deliver you from your sin, but because you love Egypt still and you keep holding on to those things that you know are wrong, but you don't want to let them go because they're your safety net. When we allow Egypt to have a place in our heart, we're allowing God to have less. When we allow Egypt to have a containment in our life, then we allow Egypt to keep us unstable. And I don't know about you. I don't want to be unstable. I don't know about you. Listen, the children of Israel, this is powerful. The children of Israel were delivered from Egypt. But because of their loving Egypt so much, because they loved Egypt, they were not able to enter the promised land. God's best for them. But I want to show you that God still loves them. So this is what happened. Every morning they got up. There was food out at the front of their tent. Every day they got up. If they wanted meat, God brought so much meat at one point in time that it literally came out their nostrils. They had so much. When they needed water, God made bitter water sweet. God made water come out of a rock that fed, that watered over 2.5 million people and all of their livestock. You see, God took care of them. The Bible says that their shoes, if they were 4 years old when they went into the desert, their shoes actually grew on them. Their clothes actually grew with them. They didn't need to go to Walmart and buy anything more. God took care of them. God blessed them. God was before them in a pillar of fire and behind the pillar of cloud. God was with them. But I want you to realize they still never entered the very best that God had for them, not because it wasn't God's desire, but because only 2 out of the 12 spies believed that God's word was true and not Egypt's mentality was true. You got to make a decision that Egypt has no place in your life. Well, you all right? Just compensating, huh? Some of you are still compensating. It's amazing to me that people run back. You want the promised land, but you still want Egypt. You want God to bring you to the best, but you don't want the process of change, which means there are times you got to let things go. Can I hear an amen or am I? You see, some of you, what it is that when trouble starts to come into your life and you're born again, you love Jesus. Because you've not gotten Egypt out of you, the very first thing you do is run back to your old friends. Come on now, you know the friends I'm talking about. The friends, man, you cleaned up your mouth, but you start hanging out with them, you're dropping the F-bomb just like they do now. Man, you're going the same places, doing the same thing, and you come out with the mentality, well, I'm just trying to lead them to Christ. No, you're not. They're leading you to hell. What's happened is that we love Egypt so much that when we're having a trial or we're having a problem, we run back to our old friends. Hey, man, thanks for being there for me. Hey, let's go party. That's right, some of you, what it is your stability is your booze. You go back to the bar every time you have trouble in your life. You grab a glass of wine because you need some peace. Let me ask you a question, or I'll just say it out loud. You ready? If you need a stimulant to give you what Christ already paid for, then you might not have Christ. If you need a glass of wine to calm you down, but Jesus is the Prince of Peace, then you're running to the stimulant, you're running back to Egypt instead of laying hold on God. Can I hear an amen or am I? You see, you run around, you go grab a little weed because you need a little rest. I just want to relax. So you grab some weed and you start smoking. Well, it's legal now. Oh, I'm telling you something. The problem is it had nothing to do with legal. The problem has to do with what do you need it for? You need it because that was your peace when you were in Egypt. You need the booze because it was your peace when you were in Egypt. But all it's doing is God is saying, listen, I delivered you from Egypt. I delivered you from that stuff. I set you free from that stuff. Why do you keep going back to that stuff? Because all it's doing is making you unstable. Every time you start to get stable, because you grab a hold of Egypt, you're just laying flopping on the floor. You should flop a little. All because God got him out of Egypt, but couldn't get Egypt out of him. We've got to make a decision in our life. I'm telling you right now, in these last days, Jesus is coming, by the way. And those who don't know prophecy, you better shake yourself. Because even the people of the world recognize that something's wrong right now. That something's going on right now. Jesus is coming. The Bible says there's not one prophecy left to be fulfilled before he cracks the eastern sky. Before the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus is coming. But the issue is this, is that there are so many believers still living in Egypt, they're still going back to Egypt, that when your friends need Christ, they don't know who to go to. Because you're living the same way they are, yet the declaration is, I've been set free. Ooh, got quiet this morning. You know that sin that God set you free, man? You go right back. The moment trials come in your life, you go right back to that sin. Come on now. You got that girl. You got that lady. She's on that hook. Now you see, I just gonna make a confession. That when I was in Bible school, I had a girl at Bible school, and I had a girl back home. The girl back home, she was a pig farmer's daughter, and baby, she could play the piano, and she could sing. She was beautiful, and she could work, because her daddy taught her how to work on that farm. But this girl at Bible school, she was a little, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and I wasn't really beholden, but she could write really good papers and do my laundry. Listen, that's a lot of years ago. I've changed. But let me tell you something. When things got rocky at school, I knew I always had this girl back home. It was only an hour and a half. Finally, she looked at me and she says, "It's going to be me or the girls at school." And the girls at school wrote my papers and did my laundry. So I chose the girls at school. She ended up marrying a missionary and was a missionary down in Haiti. I got Rhonda. She's great, isn't she? But man, Jesus set you free, but you still got your booty call that you call when you need it. Come on, can I hear an amen or oh my? Say oh my. Come on, ladies. Man, I don't know if you've ever watched the Juanita Bynum video on No More Sheets. Because I want you to know, having somebody in your sheets don't make it all better. That's playing with Egypt. And I want to tell you something. If you're not married, you shouldn't be between the sheets. Whoa, come on now. Say amen or oh my. I said, if you're not married, you shouldn't be between the sheets. You're going back to Egypt. Man, even the world knows that that's wrong. Even the world knows that that's going to bring death. Man, you know, I don't know if you realize that. I got it in my Rock Solid Faith book. But the New York Post. In the Post, they actually put in there, I got the article in the Rock Solid Faith, that couples that live together have an 85% higher divorce rate than those who do not. Even the world knows that stuff. But the church just keeps going back to Egypt. Why? Because we put the boots on. Even though God delivered us from a location, we never got that location out of our heart. You got to make a choice. Man, Egypt cannot be your booty call. You got to make a decision that you're going to serve God. Can I hear an amen or am I? When I was a kind of a wild child growing up. I grew up, my mom was here first service, and I confirmed it with her. And I was in church the very first week after I was born. I was in church that very first week. I was in church Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Wednesday night, and Friday nights. I had been kicked out of Sunday school. My father was the superintendent. I had been kicked out of Royal Rangers. My uncle was the Royal Ranger leader. That's Christian Boy Scouts. I had been kicked out of youth group twice. Finally, the youth pastor, March 13th, 1983, approximately 11:31, pulled me into the office, and he said, "Spencer, get in or get out. Stop playing games." I was a little shocked. How dare you tell me that? How dare you tell me to get out of Egypt? How dare you tell me that I can't play in church and still live like hell anytime I want? And that day I made a decision to serve God. That day I made a decision that I was coming out of Egypt. Now, I haven't been perfect. Sometimes I've gone back and played a little, but what I've realized is the same thing, that the reason I left it because it wasn't all that good. Now, going back to it, it makes it worse because you recognize that God is good and not bad, and the devil's bad and not good, and you realize, I don't want to go back to that lifestyle because he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I made a choice to serve God all the way. But you've got to make a choice. Do you want to get out of Egypt?
You betcha.
You noticing something different? He's stable. Egypt will never stabilize you. You wonder why you're struggling in your walk with God. Let go of Egypt. Stop going back to those safety nets of the world. Even if it's your mind. Some of you go back to your depression. Some of you go back to your offenses. Man, when you were saved, man, you were just horrid. You were that kind of person that no one wanted to be around. You were nasty-spirited because somebody had hurt your feelings and you were going to hurt everybody around you. But guess what? You got saved and God gave you a heart of forgiveness. God blessed you, man. You forgave those people and you felt free and free indeed. But then you're saved for a little bit and someone in church hurts your feelings. So what do? You get offended again. What do? You climb back in the boots. You see, these boots are available to you anytime you want. You can get in these boots any day you want. God won't even stop you. Why? Because he wants you to want him. Any day you want to climb back in these Egyptian boots, you can. Anytime you want to start making concrete by straw and eating cabbage, you can. You can do it any day you want. But just know this is your lifestyle right here. You are never going to stand strong. You are never going to stand tall. And your past will never be allowed to be released. And you'll never step into your future. I want you to hear me now so very clearly. The destiny that God has for you, your heart has not even understand. The Bible says your eye has not seen. Your ear has not heard. Your mind cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love him. Man, God has greatness for you. Not goodness for you. Not survival for you. Not just making it by. He's got sin forgiving. He's got a testimony that will set others free. He's got healing and supernatural miracles. Man, I declare there's no sickness, no disease, no maiming, no wounding, no growth, no spirit infirmity that belongs in the believer's lives in Jesus' name. And I declare we shall prosper in all things and be in good health even as our soul prospers. We're going to have abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. Why? Because Christ paid the price to get us out of Egypt. It's time to kick Egypt to the side and stop playing with Egypt. When you do this, man, it changes everything. You can't go halfway to the promised land. Oh, yeah, Egypt's always going to come back. Because if it laid dead, you'd never be tempted again. So the question is this. Trouble comes your way. What's your first place you turn? Where are you going? When the water seems to be bitter, what's the first reaction out of your life? If God set me free from the Red Sea, if God swallowed up the Egyptian army in that Red Sea, if God opened the blessing to where none of the children died, if God healed all 2.5 million just by eating the lamb, I know that God can make the bitter water sweet. I know that God can put my feet ahead of me, and I'm going to walk in the way of God. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. I will walk in him. I will live in him, for in him I live and move and have my being. I'll fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm not going to turn to the right hand or the left, but I'm going to move forward only in Christ. I'm going to forget those things which are behind, and I'm going to press on, press on, press on, press on, press on to the greatness that God has for you. Amen. You just got to want it more than you do. Amen. My wife and I are blessed. We are. We're blessed. People of the world are funny. They just make me chuckle. Well, that's because you take it all from the church. You got no clue. My wife's a prolific writer. She travels the world as a speaker. She blesses me. I got to write some more books. That woman there, God's blessing her, and everywhere she turns and everything she does. Listen, the people that I love, they love her more than they love me. But I'm okay with that. Everything we want, God blesses us with because we know our God. And God didn't bring us to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. He brought us to the promised land with milk and honey. Come on now. You got to make a decision. How much do you love Egypt? What has it really done in your life? Is it that good? Is it that good? If it was that good, then what are you doing here? Get out of here. Go live for hell. We've got to make choices in our lives. And some people say, well, that's tough. That's harsh. No, it's not harsh. It's real. I challenge you. Don't go to work for 3 days and then walk back in and say, I'm here. You know what's going to happen? You were here. Here's your box. Yeah, we look at God's kingdom. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we think that God's going to be tolerant of foolishness. God is holy. This is not religion. This is not a Christian game. This is not religiosity. This is the kingdom of God. And God's got greatness. I don't know about you. I'm just unwilling to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And man, if God tell me to get something up, I tell you, sometimes it's not easy. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Sometimes the devil makes it look sweeter. Come on, doesn't he? He makes it look good. He makes that girl look good. He makes that booze look good. He makes that weed look good. He makes it look good, man. It looks good for a little bit until you taste it. For the Bible says that sin is fun, but for a season. Are you all right? I know sin hurts other people, not just you. Isn't it horrible bringing other people back to Egypt with you? Choices. I know that Jesus is coming soon, man, and I know what our job is in this region. It's not to be a little church well, we'll be a cornfield really soon. But our job here is to really make the difference in our community. We have children that have never been in the house of God before. We got kids that have never, ever, ever even sat at a table and had a family meal before. We do that every Wednesday and Thursday right here. We got children that won't have food unless we bring it to them on Monday and Tuesday. We got people, amen. We got people that honestly have never even heard the gospel, that live right next door to you. They've never heard that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father. They think that being good, they think that being nice is the answer. It's not the answer. Christ is the answer. Jesus is the answer. The religious motto is not the answer. Listen, I don't care if you were brought up Baptist. I don't care if you brought up Pentecostal. I don't care if you brought up Presbyterian or Catholic or Episcopalian. The fact is there's none of those titles in heaven. It's you're either a child of God or you're not a child of God. You're either serving Jesus and you've come out of Egypt, or you're living in Egypt and you're not going to heaven. That's it. And we as believers, man, we are the only hope this world has. Because the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We are the ones with the message that will set the captives free. Two people brought him out of Egypt. Two friends brought him out of Egypt. You see, your friend, somebody needs to come out of Egypt. Who are you going to get? But they're never going to come out of Egypt if you keep going back and visit them in Egypt. Even the world knows how believers are supposed to live. Come on now. A lot of people get real spiritual after they've had about a six-pack. Well, I can tell you why, because if you ever notice what the name of it is, it's called wine and spirits. Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. You start playing back with the world, and you're going to find that none of your friends are going to hear the gospel. You might be their only hope. Their only hope. And I challenge you to come out of Egypt. I'd like you to bow your heads with me this morning. Today, I just want to talk to you real quickly. I believe there's some in the room this morning that have never come out of Egypt. They've never been saved. No, I didn't say join a church. I said been saved. What does that mean? That means that you recognize that you're a sinner. See, the fact is that the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, if you say you have not sinned, 1 John says, then you're a liar, for all have sinned. You see, somebody has to pay for that sin. If you choose not to serve Christ Jesus, if you serve not to accept Christ as your Lord, God sends no one to hell. What you're actually saying is, I'm willing to pay for my own price of sin. But Jesus. Jesus said, I love them so much, I'm going to become sin for them who knew no sin. You see, Christ did not ever sin, but he said, I'm willing to take on their sin so they don't have to pay the price. But every price has to be paid. Everybody's got to pay the price, and that is either yourself or through Christ. When the children of Israel called for God to deliver them, God sent a deliverer. His name was Moses. Let my people go. I still love that statement. God is saying that for you today. I sent my only begotten son. I sent him to let you go. I sent him so that you can be free. I sent him so you don't have to die for your own sin. I sent him so that you could come out of Egypt. I sent him so that you could know me, so that you could walk with me and talk with me, that I could have a relationship with you. The Bible says that he was called a friend of God. God wants you to know him. He wants you to walk with him. You see, this is a relationship that he's desperately after. But you see, he cannot have sin in his presence. So Christ paid the sin to get you out of Egypt. I challenge you today. Look at your life. Why is Egypt so titillating? Why is it so tempting? Why is it so powerful? Because let's be honest, the wages of sin is death. I want to know when I take my last breath, I want to know where I'm going to be. I don't want to be shocked when I get somewhere where I didn't expect. Today, if you do not know Jesus, today, if you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, or you're in a position, you're backslidden, what that means is this. Backslidden means you once loved God with all of your heart, your mind, your body, soul, and your strength, but now you've gone back to Egypt so much, you've left God and you've lived in Egypt. Lot lived in Sodom. God sent a deliverer to Sodom and said, don't look back. But Lot's wife loved Sodom so much, she had to look back. And when she did, she turned to a pillar of salt. My question to you is this. If you don't know Christ, today's your day. Today is the day of salvation. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to do something brave. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and give your heart to Christ. Today, if you would like Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, like I said, I'm not asking you to join a church or join a religion. I want you to know Jesus. I want your sins forgiven. Today, if you want to come out of Egypt, you want to be free and free indeed. Today, if you want Christ, who's paid the price to be your Savior, I want you to slide your hand up right in the air right now. Thank you. 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 Thank you, young lady. Thank you, all three of you. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. This is your day. This is not religion. This is your day. I'd like us all to stand this morning. I'm going to ask you to be brave. Can everybody do me a favor? Turn to the person next to them and say this with me. Say, if you wanted to raise your hand, but you didn't, I'll go up with you. The Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father. So if you raise your hand, I want you to come right out of your chair. Meet me right up front right now. Come on, come right out of your chair. Come on, give my hand clap as they come. This is their moment. Is there a life change? Supernatural. Dude, proud of you, man. Proud of you. It's your moment, Bubby. It's your moment. Man of God, it's your moment, man. Bubby, I love you. Man, I love you. Sir, I love you. Proud of you. Young ladies, I love you, honey. I love you so much. Hi, baby girl. Man, proud of you guys. This is Mindy right here. She's going to pray with you. Baby girl in the parking lot. I love you. Head right on over there. She's going to pray with you. We're going to get you Bibles. We don't want you to just start this race. We don't want you just to start leaving Egypt. We want you out of Egypt. So we're going to teach you how to do that. Amen. Sometimes you only know what you know. We're going to teach you to get all the way out of Egypt. Amen. Follow Mindy. She'll pray with you. This morning, I'd like the prayer team to come to the front of the altar, please. This morning, if you're out there and you once, man, you are free and free indeed. But now you've been visiting Egypt so often that now you're back in bondage. I'm not saying you don't love God, but you're living back there now. And God wants you to be free. These folks know how to pray you out. So So today, if you're living in bondage and you want to be free in Jesus' name, I'm going to ask you to get out of your chair, find one of these folks. They're going to lay hands on you, pray for you. The supernatural power of God that got you out of sin is going to get you free again, and you're going to be able to run this race without any constraints. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I love you. Come on now. If that's you, get right out of your chair. Make your way right up front. You got to be bold sometimes. If you want something, you come and get it. If I was offering you a free car right now, you'd already be out of your chair. How much do you want God? There's the anointing right there, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I release right now, Father, that person with the back pain on either side, 1 inch outside of each of the bottom, Lord, right at the bottom of the vertebrae. I command that pain to be gone right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak right now to the pain in the arch on the left foot. I command that to be gone as well in Jesus' name. Lord, I speak to that pain in the back of the neck, about 3 inches over on the right-hand side, midway in the neck. I command that pain to be gone, and I curse the very cause of it in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, you are a supernatural king. And right now, anybody that has problems and situations, when they come up to be delivered, I command the power of addiction to be broken in Jesus' name. I declare, God, that those that are addicted to drugs, those that are addicted to alcohol, those that are addicted to pornography, those that are addicted to anything else, Lord, when they get hands laid on them, loosed in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that we are truly your kids and we are coming out of Egypt. Get up and out in Jesus' name. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. I love you. This will be out in the foyer if you want to go get your picture taken. Have a great week. We love you in Jesus' name.